bunch, a number of hakdamos that gained great fame over the years because they are very, very fundamental yisodistic introductions to what he was writing to. So he has a hakdama to his parish on the Mishnah. That's what he wrote in his younger years. He wrote a parish on the entire Mishnah, and he wrote an introduction to that. It's really an introduction to Zeraim, but it serves as an introduction to the entire Mishnah. He wrote an introduction to the end of Sanhedrin, Parak Chelek, which is all about Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim. He wrote an introduction to Pirkei Avos, which is referred to as Shmona Prakim. And those are three of the Rambam's very, very famous Hakdamos. Bezus Hashem, we will try to get through certainly this one, and if we have time and interest, we will move on to other writings of the Rambam, hopefully. That's how things look like right now. So, as was just asked, primarily this is going to be text-based, meaning the goal is to cover ground and to learn the Hakdama. It's not for me to give a shiur, it's the Rambam's going to give shiur. And I'm just going to be the conduit for bringing the words of the Rambam to you. There will be times when we, certainly while we're reading, add explanation. And there will be, for instance, I think even next week we're going to have a... We'll have an entire shiur that's going to be based on something the Rambam said, but it'll actually be outside of the Sefer. So we'll play with that as we continue throughout the year. So let's jump right into things. Let's begin. And you'll see certain times I'll move quicker, sometimes I'll move a little slower. So we're going to skip the very beginning, which is the Rambam has a poem, which I didn't include in your source sheet there. Like I said, this is an excellent volume, the Rambam La'am. This is an excellent volume of the Hakdamos. It has all three of those Hakdamos that I mentioned to you. They're all classic works, so certainly not a problem to have them on your shelf. It doesn't hurt. And okay, let's begin.
This is burnt? This is one of the Sarim of the
No, this
burnt?
Is not. This
it's
is
not,
not
one
burnt.
Of the controversial.
No, this is not controversial. Okay, da. Ki kol mitzvah shenasna HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom nasna lo b'feirusha. The beginning of the Hakdama, the Rambam discusses the Mesorah, because he's about to teach you the Mishnah, so he wants to tell you the Mesorah. So every mitzvah that Hashem gave to Moshe was given with explanation. He would begin by teaching the mitzvah, and then God would teach the perush and inyana. He would elaborate upon the mitzvah. V'chol mashu kolel sefer ha-Torah. And everything... that is in all the details that are included in the Torah. Okay, I label that as the introduction. Now, immediately, before we even actually continue, we'll just mention the very famous Sifra in Bahar, the Medrash in Bahar. I think we've pointed out before in the past, there are two types of Medrash. There's Medrash Halacha and Medrash Agada. Medrash Agada are the... more typically associated with the stories that you guys are familiar with. When we say, oh, there's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, all the Rabbahs, Medrash Rabbah, those are all Medrashei Agada, Agadatos, like we say colloquially in referring to Gemaras that are not Halachic. Then there's Medrash Halacha. Medrash Halacha were written by the Tanoim, and they are like Mishnayos. They teach Halachos. There's the Mechilta on Shmos. There's the Sifra, the Sifri, on Vayikra Bamidbar and Dvarim. So in the Sifra in Parshas Bahar, we're told Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemur. The very beginning of Parshas Bahar teaches us the halachos of Shemitah. And it says Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemur, and then tells us all the halachos of Shemitah, which prompts the famous question, Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, right? I like to say Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel, the price of tea in China. Right? What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? What do you mean? These were the laws that were given in Har Sinai, and then it tells us Shemitah. What Shemitah was taught at Sinai as opposed to all other halachos that weren't taught at Sinai? What does that mean? These are the laws of Shemitah that were taught at Sinai. So the Medrash says, you see from here, Halokom etzos nemru misinai, ela ma Shemitah nemru chloloseha v'diktu gea misinai. Just like Shemitah, the details of the halachos and the general halachos were all taught at Sinai, so too, afkulam nemru kloloseha v'diktu keha misinai. So too, all of the halachos followed the same pattern. Sinai is just the paradigm of how halachos were taught at Sinai. Hashem would teach the halacha and then all of the details. And that's Ke'ilu, if we wanted to say it in a gross way. Shemitah was just a random mitzvah chosen to represent all the mitzvahs, that just like Shemitah was taught with all its details at Sinai, so too all of the mitzvahs were taught at Sinai. In fact, next week, or next time we learn together, I think we're going to expand upon this discussion. What exactly was given at Sinai? Because this medrash that I just quoted to you is only one opinion, that the entire Torah was taught at Sinai. Certainly the pshat of the psukim in the Torah implies that what was given at Sinai? Aseres HaDibros. We know that there were three major times when Klal Yisrael learned Torah in the desert. Besides Mara, from Sinai and on. They learned Sinaitic Torah, the Masoretic Torah, Torah from Moshe. There's at Har Sinai, there's at Ohel Moed, which is like a year and a half later. They're at the foot of the mountain at the Ohel Moed. They hung out at Sinai for a while. And then, where's the third place? Arvos Moav. Right before they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, at the end of the 40 years, Sefer Devarim begins that they're standing at the border, and Moshe's giving his farewell speech. And towards the end of Sefer Vayikra, Sefer Bamidbar, we hear that they arrive at Arvos Moav. And then there's again a repetition of Torah, or maybe not a repetition. So we're going to talk about that next week, Bezras Hashem. We're going to discuss what was given when. Was only the Aseres HaDibros given at Sinai? Was the entire Torah given at Sinai? This medrash, the famous medrash from Bahar, Ma Shmita Kloloseha Vipratah were given at Sinai. Af Kol Torah Kula Kloloseha Prateha were given at Sinai. So that obviously assumes that everything was given at Sinai. So what did they do at Ohel Moed? They learned it again. What did they do at Arvos Moav? They learned it again. This is the famous Ramban about whether new mitzvos were taught throughout the period in the desert, or whether everything was given at Sinai. So we're going to discuss all of that next week, Bezus Hashem. But that's how the Rambam begins his introduction here. And then he tells us, V'inyin limudo liYisrael, hayik fisha amalucha. Now this is like little mini section 2. You could put a little 2 next to this. What was the style of the transmission process of Torah to Yisrael? Hayim Moshe nichnas ba'olo. Moshe entered into his ohel. So he's apparently down from Sinai now, and he's in his ohel. Discussion about Ohel Moed and Ohel Moshe. The implication of the Gemara in Erevin is certainly that, and the Gemara elsewhere also, that they're the same place. Hayamoshe nichnas ba'olo v'nichnas elav b'tchila Aaron. So Moshe was in his tent. In comes Aaron. Moshe omer lo ha-mitzvah ha-nesuna lo. Moshe would teach Aaron the mitzvah that he was taught from Hashem, pal achas, v'limdua perusheha. He would teach with it its explanation. So we clearly already see that there's a split here. There's something that was the mitzvah, and then there is the explanation of the mitzvah. This is going to end up being the split between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh at its earliest stage. In other words, Torah Shebal Peh is also going to be the continuing discussions that continue after Moshe's death and the development of halacha. But even at the earliest stage, there was things that were given to Moshe to be written down, and there were things that were given over to be the explanation to accompany the primary laws that were taught to be written down. Yeah.
Do you assume that there's a difference between the first time and the second time that Moshe wrote down those luchos in the Torah? Or is this is the second time? Or this, the first time also?
There was the first Dibros, the second Dibros, and now we're holding after that.
Okay. This
is after all of that. The question of how much was given at each time the Dibros was given is going to be what we're going to touch on next time. Were only the Dibros given? Was more of the Torah given? Okay. So Moshe would teach Aaron. V'yistalek Aaron. It's not clear here. Did he teach him everything? Did he teach him one halacha? That's not clear right now. But clearly, if it's everything, so this is a one-time shot, and he teaches them everything. If it's one specific thing, then this, right, we're going to see soon, there's going to be a discussion about whether Moshe gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael in piecemeal or at one shot. So if it's piecemeal, so then every time Moshe decided to give a piece of Torah, so Klal Yisrael would come in, Aaron would come in, Moshe would teach him, and then the process would continue. Yistalek Aaron would leave. V'yachzer liyamin Moshe, where he would move aside, move over to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'nichnas achrav Elazar v'Itamar banav. Elazar v'Itamar, the sons of Aaron would come in. Omer lahem mashe amar la'aron. He would teach it a, well, this is his second time teaching it. He learned it once. He's teaching it now for a second time. V'yistalku, and then they would move over. V'yeshev ha'echad the small Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ashen li yamin Aaron. One moved to Moshe's left, the other to the right of Aaron. V'acharichein, and this is all a paraphrase, by the way, of the Gemara in Erevin, Nun Da'adam Ad-Beis. V'acharichein yavo shivim zekenim, v'yilamdeim Moshe, k'moshe limei la'aron uvanav. And then the 70 elders would come in, and Moshe would teach them, just like he had taught Aaron ubanav. V'acharichein yavo ha'hamon, v'chol mevakesh Hashem. And then the masses would be allowed to come in, and all those who were interested in learning. That's interesting, that I guess already at that time, there were those who were interested in learning, and those who were less interested. V'yasem lifneim ha'mitzvah hi ad yishmu ha'kol mipiv. And he would lay it all in front of them, and they would all have the opportunity to learn from Moshe. Now, I don't know, we could take a miraculous approach and say, well, let's say there were 800,000 people, or there were 800 people, that they all came into Aaron's tent, into Moshe's tent. What, this was like a, you know, like Eretz Yisrael, during the time of Aliyah LeRegel, it would stretch and it would fit. Or we could say that there were perhaps shifts, just like we find with the Karin Pesach, that one group would come in, when it would fill up, they would close the tent door, then let the next group in. But those details aren't given to us, just raising the point. Nimtza Aaron shomeh ha-mitzvah imi pi Moshe arba pa'amim. You see that Aaron heard the learning four times, at least. He heard it once when it was taught to him, once when it was taught to his sons, when it was taught to the elders, and once when it was taught to the Hamon Am. Banav shlosha pamim, zekeinim shtei pamim, v'sharam pamachas. That's what they would hear from Moshe. V'yistalik Moshe. Now Moshe would step aside. V'chazer Aaron lefarish mitzvah ahi asher lamad. And now Aaron would become the teacher. Sheshamim b'pi Moshe arba pamim. That which he had heard from Moshe four times. K'moshe amarnu al kol hanimtzayim. And he would teach it. Sounds like he was teaching it again. He would teach it again to everybody who was assembled there. Now, the istalik Aaron mitam, Aaron would step aside. Achrei sheshamu banav ha-mitzvah arba pamim. Now his sons had now heard it four times, right? Heard it from Moshe. They heard it from Moshe when he had taught it to them. He had heard it when Moshe taught it to the Am. They heard it when, what was the third time?
Zekanim.
What was that? When he heard it to the Zekanim, thank you. And they, so it went out of order. They heard it when they taught it to them. They heard it when they taught it to the Zekanim. They heard it when he taught it to the Hamonam. And now they heard it once from Aaron. Shalosh mipi Moshe v'achas mipi Aaron. The chozan alazer v'tamar, achreish nastalik Aaron, l'lamed ha-mitzvahi, l'chol ha-amen insoim v'nastalik mid-l'lamed. And the same thing with the children. You're seeing a theme is emerging here. We made reference to this the other night. There's a theme that's emerging here about everybody seems to be taught something four times. Pami pi Moshe, pami pi Aaron. Now the Kaal would hear it four times as well. Pami pi Moshe, pami pi Aaron, shlishus mi pi Vanov, urivius mi pi hazakenim. The Gemara in Erevin actually continues and says, Mikan amar Reb Eliezer, chayiv Adam, Shanos, l'tamido dalet pa'amim, kal v'chomer me Aaron. We learn from Aaron a kal v'chomer. If Aaron, who learned from Moshe, and Moshe learned from Hashem, and he needed to learn it four times, so hedjot mi pi hedjot al achas kama v'kama. If I'm teaching you, and I'm just a commoner, and you're just a commoner, and I'm teaching you, so al achas kama v'kama, you need to hear it four times. Apparently, Aaron needed to hear it four times for it to sink in. So al achas kama v'kama, we need to. And I'm not going to reiterate everything we said the other night, but certainly something that we should, if we get frustrated, let me put a more, since that was a Musar Shmuz, and a Musar Shmuz is supposed to be fire and brimstone, so let's take the opposite approach now that we're in a more intimate setting. So if we feel, take the Chizuk approach, if we feel that we're frustrated because we don't always remember things. We don't always get something. So we can take some, we can be consoled by the fact that it took Aaron four times, apparently, to learn from the greatest teacher in history, perhaps, or the greatest scholar, to until he was able to internalize the message. And so therefore, us as well, certainly we should at least be willing to invest four times, whatever we're doing, whether we're learning Gemara, we're learning Tanakh, or whatever we're doing, in order to internalize and remember that which we learned. Yeah.
Was Aaron's level of understanding or level of comprehension, do you think it was as clear as Moshe's after he heard it four times, or do you think there was still something lost?
in the transmission. So that's interesting. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, umasra li Yoshua. If Yoshua is a Canaan, is a Canaan, right? That's the beginning of Pirkei Avos. So the Maral wants to know why there's a change in verb. It says, Moshe kibel mi Sinai, umasra li Yoshua. Why doesn't it say, Yoshua? Why doesn't it say, Yoshua kibel mi Moshe? So I believe, I haven't looked at it in a while, but I believe that the Maral says that kibel is from the perspective of the recipient, obviously, and masra is from the perspective of the giver over of knowledge, the one who's imparting the knowledge. And whenever it uses kibel, it means that the recipient received it on his level, to his degree. And when it says from the perspective of the one who is imparting, the teacher, so that means that the teacher was able to give over completely what he had. So certainly to Yehoshua we're told that Moshe was able to give it over completely to Yehoshua. I believe, again, I stand to be corrected if someone wants to check the Maral, but that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't receive it completely, that there was something lacking. And that we're told, Rabban quotes in his Hakdama to Bereishis, that there were 50 levels, whatever that means, of wisdom that got 50 levels of comprehension for everything that God gave over to Moshe, and Moshe really only was able to grasp 49 of them out of the 50. Again, I don't know what this means, why that number, and you know, these are deeper issues, I think, but certainly the transmission from Hashem to Moshe, Moshe couldn't possibly contain everything perfectly. To Yoshua, then, I'm able to answer your question, that to Yoshua, at least the Maral thinks that Moshe was able to give it over completely to Yoshua. But he then forgot a bunch of things. Right, exactly. Again, these numbers are probably not specific numbers when it says 3,000. In fact, there's actually a Rashbam in Baba Basra that when the Gemara says 300, so the Rashbam says that doesn't really mean 300. It just means a lot. And 300 is a number that's employed to mean a lot. It doesn't specifically mean 300. So I can answer your question for Yoshua. In terms of Aaron, I'm not 100% sure. But we're going to see that there was a certain lack of clarity, even at Moshe's time, because before Moshe dies, he comes to the nation and he says, anything that's unclear that I taught you, please raise it now. And he was a busy man at that point. Everyone was raising issues that he brought up. And that's something that the Rambam and the Gaonim discuss in detail. We'll get to it later, about in the whole telephone game, how much error is there in Mesorah, in the transmission of Torah. Okay, so this was the transmission process. I quoted it the other night, but I'll just mention it again, that the Rambam also in a tshuva, the Rambam has a sefer of tshuvos called Pe'er Hador. There are two classic works called Pe'er Hador. One of them is a four-volume biography of the Chazon Ish. The other one is the name given to the Rambam's tshuvos, his responsa. It's called Pe'er Hador. We have it downstairs in the Yotzer. They read very easily. They're enjoyable reading. And one of the Rambam's tshuvas, so he makes reference to this four times that it was taught, and I mentioned this the other night, the importance of when you're teaching, before you speak, to review something four times before you give it over to somebody else, which will ensure that you understand the material properly and also that you you give it over well and that you teach it well. Okay. The achar came. Hayikol ha'am holchem lamed ish la'achiv. Now we're getting a very interesting, exciting view of what was going on at the time period. How the Jews were apparently excited about what was going on when they left the Ohel Moed. So behind you. Oh, you got. Oh, you had one already. Okay. The achar came. Hayikol ha'am holchem lamed ish la'achiv. Everyone started to discuss, you know, like when you come out of shiur and you're walking to lunch and you start discussing what happened in shiur. So that's what happened. They all started to discuss with each other. Very interesting. Everyone started to write down what they learned in Megillos. What's a Megillah? Megillah means like a notebook. They wrote down notes to themselves. So we don't yet have an official writing down of Torah, it sounds like, but everybody to themselves would write the mitzvah of Kosvim. They would write the mitzvah in Megillos.
But not during shir.
What? Doesn't sound like during shir, right? It sounds like it was afterwards. Now, the Gemara in Gittin has a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish about how Torah was given. It sounds like the Rambam might be making reference to this. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Torah was given chasuma, sealed, in one chunk. Torah was given in one chunk. Rav Yochanan holds that Torah was given megillah, means in piecemeal. And we're going to talk about more next week what that machlokas is really about. Does that mean that Moshe came down from Har Sinai and then there was just this intensive, you know, Yemei Iyun for days and days where Moshe taught the entire Torah? Boom, he gave him over the whole Torah? Or does it mean that throughout the years in the desert, Moshe gave over piece by piece by piece? And we're going to discuss that more, hopefully, next week. But this is a machlokas. It certainly sounds like from here that the Rambam is siding with Rav Yochanan, that it was given Megillah. But again, maybe we're not using the word Megillah properly. I should make a point, which is just a very important point when we're being medayik in the Rambam's Lashon. The Rambam wrote the Perish Mishnayos in Arabic. So, I'll get to one second to Rabbi Shilat's edition. So, the Rambam wrote this in Arabic. He wrote it in Judeo-Arabic, which means that he used Hebrew letters, but it was Arabic words. He didn't write it in Arabic letters. He wrote it in Hebrew letters, transliterating Arabic words. And that was a standard form of writing for many Rishonim who lived in Muslim lands. And at one point, 90% of the Jews lived in Muslim lands at one point during the medieval time period. So, there was a tremendous amount of studying being done in Arabic, and that was the vernacular for the people. So, in the entire empire, in other words, unlike the Christian empires where people in France spoke French and the people in Germany spoke German, and there wasn't a language of the Christian empire, there was Latin, which was a scholarly language, but the average person didn't speak Latin, and the Jews probably, if they knew Latin, they definitely didn't learn in Latin, would be my guess. It was the language of the church. So if Yiddish is somehow like the holy language, from a certain perspective, for people who like to hold on to Yiddish as the holy language, so there, you know, I mean, in other words, if you take the attitude that a language like Latin, which like Yiddish, which is not holy, can be treated as holy because people learned with it for hundreds of years, I imagine if you have a similar attitude, then you're not going to study in Latin, which is the church language. So the Jews, that's an interesting discussion, if the Jews in France and in Germany, Bali Tosfos for instance, did they learn in French or did they learn in Hebrew? That's an interesting question. We know Rashi certainly quotes French words, so sounds like they knew French. I don't know what they learned. It's a scholarly dispute about what they learned in their yeshivas, if they learned in French or if they learned in Hebrew. Interesting question to think about. Hold on, I'll take a question in a minute. So we're being medayik in the fact that he uses the word Megillos here, although we don't know what the original word was in Arabic. And even if we did, we don't know Arabic, I think, most of us in the room. So it wouldn't help us anyway. There are other translations. This is the classic translation. Actually, this is not the translation. There was a classic translation done by Rav Shmuel ibn Tibon. That he was a Rishon. The Rambam actually looked at some of his translations of some of his works. So he lived during that time period. He lived in Provence, which is southern France, along the Mediterranean. And he translated a lot of works. Rav Shmuel ibn Tibon. His translation is the one that you find in the back of our Gemaras. The back of our Gemara has the Hakdamah, the Perish Mishnah. This is a new translation. I'm not sure if it was done by Rav Rabinovich or not, but this is a new translation. An even more recent translation was done by Rabbi Shilat, who's a Rebbe in Male Adumim, Birkas Moshe. And so I'm sure the text is a little different from what I've been reading. Does he use the word Megillos?
Yes, he does.
Okay, does he have a footnote there about the Machlokas of Yochanan Rishlak? No, okay. Anyway, that's the Megillos here. In the Mosada of Cook edition, they have a footnote that they think that this implies that the Torah was given Megillos. But anyway, what we do see here is that they wrote notes to themselves. V'yishotetu asarim al kol Yisrael l'lamedu l'horos ad shiyedu begirsa mitzvahi v'yargilu l'krosa. By the way, to go to the bathroom in Latin is natura wokat, which means nature calls.
How do you remember?
V'yishotetu asarim. Yeah. Natura, nature.
I don't even remember how to say my name.
Okay. V'yishotetu asarim al kol Yisrael. And the sarim, the teachers or the judges would go around to all the Jews, l'lamidul horos ad shiyedu begirsa, and they would teach it to them until they knew it. Begirsa. Girsa means almost like a form of memorization. What does he have it here? He has here that means the nusach hakvua, hamitzvah. He argu likrosa. So they knew it well. V'achar kach yelamdum perushe hamitzvah, hahi anasunim eis Hashem. And then they would also teach the Torah Shebal Peh. And that explanation would include a lot of things. He's going to give us an example in a moment. They would write down the mitzvah. And then they would learn bal peh, the Kabbalah. Okay, Kabbalah doesn't mean mystical teachings. Like when the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, this we learn, midivrei Kabbalah, doesn't mean we learned it from a mystic. It means that it's the tradition. Kabbalah, Kabbalistic, mystical teachings are called that because they were transmitted orally. So that's why they're called Kabbalah. This is what we quoted before. So the Rambam here seems to assume, like the Medrash, again, Medrash Agada, Halacha, not Medrash Agada, the Medrash Halacha, that Moshe received the entire Torah at Sinai. The question then is going to become, when did he transmit it to the rest of Klal Yisrael? But it sounds like the Rambam is assuming that the entire Torah was given at Sinai. V'hinei lecha mashal. Let me give you a mashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar LeMoshe Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamin. Thou shalt sit in Sukkos for 7 days, is what God said. Achar kach hodia, then he informed him. Again, this is all being said to Moshe, but there are different parameters for what he's saying. That line, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamin, that is the Torah Shebichtav that was said to Moshe. Okay? And that means that when that was then taught to the nation, that line, those four words, were taught as that girsa, meaning you had to learn it that way. Those four words cannot be changed, because that was the Torah Shebichtav. Had to be written down, and that four lines, those four words had to be memorized. I mean, not memorized, but it was written and taught from writing, but those four words were not negotiable. Achar kach, then Moshe was taught by God, that it's chiyuv for men and not for women, because, and also probably the principle that underlies that, because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. U'she'ena cholim chayavim bov lohochei derech, and that there's a p'tur for a mitzvah or a chole or a person who's traveling. U'shlo yehasi kuk, I'll go in a second, ela b'tzemach ha'aretz, that it needs to be from gidulei karka, the schach. V'lo yisachachena b'tzemer v'lo b'meshi v'lo b'kelim, and you can't use those things for schach. Afilu me'asher tatzmich b'aretz, kagon haksosos v'akarm v'abegadim, you can't use clothing, even if the clothing is made from cotton, not from wool, from an animal, but it's made from cotton, and cotton, you know, grows from the ground, and therefore it's considered gedulei karka. It doesn't matter, since it has the status of a kli, because it was fashioned into something, it can't be used as schach. This was all taught bal peh, meaning it was also said to Moshe from God. But here, there wasn't a specific syntax that was used. There wasn't a specific terms that had to be memorized. V'hodiya she'achilan sh'tiyan she'na have to be there all 7 days. That's a chova. Ushlo yad bechalala pachos mishiva tfachim. It has to have at least a space of 7 tfachim. Al 7 tfachim. That has to be the dimensions, the width and the length. Ushlo yad gova asukah. And the height has to be at least 10 tfachim. Ukasher bo hanavi. And when Moshe then came, all of Hashem, nitnilo mitzvah hazos uperusha. He would then teach everyone, okay, everyone, memorize this line. Basukos teshu shivas yamin. That's the Torah Shebichtav. And now let me teach you all of the halachas. V'chein ha-sheish me'os u'shalosh esrei mitzvos. This is how all 613 mitzvos were taught. Heim u'perushim. Them, they, and their explanation. Ha-mitzvos bichtav, v'ha-perush al peh. That's interesting, because the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu was like a scribe whose body was almost taken over by God, and God just wrote through his body. That's the Medrash said. Meaning that Moshe was really just used to be a physical thing that could write down the Torah. So the question of how much Moshe was awake or involved, even though Moshe's, one of the differences between Moshe's Nevuah and all other Nevi'im, is that Moshe was awake when he received his prophecy. The question is, when the actual Torah was being given over, how much of his faculties did Moshe retain during that time? It's a famous comment of the Meshech Chochmah that while Moshe was receiving the Torah, the actual moments when he was receiving the Torah, God actually stripped him of his Bechira and turned him into a robot in order to just be used, just to use a not nice term, as a physical conduit to put the Torah into ink. God didn't want to assume a physical form and write the Torah himself, so he sort of took over God, Moshe's body and wrote the Torah through Moshe. Here, the Rambam's word is Amar LeMoshe. What do you have over there? Hinei lecha mashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Basukos Teshvi. By the Pasuk.
Shehashem Amar Lo Basukos
Teshvi. Amar Lo. So, okay, that's just something to keep in mind, because both the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh are being said to Moshe. Moshe, though, is apparently writing down the first line, the first four words, and not the explanation. Yes, Mark?
Megillah, so that they also write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, the notes?
So it sounds like not. He says, Kosven ha-mitzvah b'megillos. And he keeps making this distinction between the mitzvah and the perush. It sounds like the perush they would discuss amongst themselves and they would memorize, and the mitzvah they would actually write down. Yeah.
So when Moshe got the Torah, Hashem would say, this is what you should write down, and this is what it means. Like he said specifically in the Torah, this is what you should write that down. And here's the explanation.
Again, explanation doesn't mean the translation. Explanation means all of the, all the halachos that are connected with that line.